Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
So we're starting a new sermon series, Ain't No Party, well, it's not ain't. There's no party like a Jesus party, but we're going to get there. So in this space, first thing I want to talk about is that if Jesus is not invited to your occasion, if he's not invited to the space and the place that you're in, if Jesus is not that person who's the center of your party, the center of your occasion, the center of the thing that you're going through, then invite him in. Whatever it might be, whatever the situation, invite him in. Thing about Jesus, here's what I know about him. The Bible says, right from the beginning, before we can deal with John chapter 2, we got to deal with John chapter 1. And it says to me, if I can remember, it says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was created that did not come created from the Word. The Word gave life. The life brought the light, and the light shined on everybody. The Word of God, it gave life. Everything that was created was spoken by God, and the Word gave life to everything. And when it gave life to everything, the Word brought light to everyone. And when the light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome the light. John the Baptist came preaching. He said, listen, there is somebody coming. I'm not the light. There's a true light that is coming, but I'm not him. But he coming. The one who can open up every door that has been closed, he coming. The one who you may have heard about, but you have not seen yet, he coming. He said that there is somebody coming. And he said, when he comes, he said, the world, he said, can't even receive him. He went to his own people and the people rejected him. He said, and when he came, he said he gave the right for everybody who might believe to become a son or a daughter. In the very beginning, the Word of God created everything that is. And when the Word of God came and created everything, it brought a light that gave light to everyone. And even though the light shined in darkness and people didn't receive it, he gave the right to anybody who said, yes, Lord, to become a son or a daughter of God. And when he came, it says that he came with all of God's love and faithfulness. So I'm saying to somebody that it's God's love that opens up the doors that were closed. It's God's love that really set a party on fire. It's God's love. Sometimes we think it's us. Sometimes we think it's somebody. It's the life of the party. Only God's love can bring the life to the party. And so as we move forward, maybe you're here. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel like your situation has been dead. God said, I'm here to revive, restore, and to set free. So when we was climbing Hope Elim Mountain, there were five things that we focused on. And I'm just going to hit it, and we're going to keep moving. We talked about the faithfulness of God, that God is faithful, that even when we don't show up, he shows up. Even when we don't do what we ought to do, God still is faithful. We talked about the obedience of God, how God inspects us to do two things. He's given 613 laws, but he boiled it down to two. He said, love God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that kind of obedience, it shows forth that you are my children. After we talked about faithfulness and obedience, we talked about transformation. At Hope Elim, if we're going to do anything, we shouldn't come and just hear a good speech and go back and do the same things we've been doing. God is calling us to shift, to change. There's something that ought to be different about our lives. There should be something different be by the way we consider what we're going to do. Because the moment we consider, there should be a shifting that happens. Transformation tells me that there's something different. It's not the same. Then we talk about humility. We talked about the humility that it took for Jesus to come and to give his life. The humility comes that when other people go high, you still can go low. When some people puff themselves up, you still can go low. That people say, well, how can I go low when people go high? It's humility. It's when you give God the wheel, let him drive the car, let him have his way. And then we talked about God's love. And at the end of the day, God's love conquers all. This series is important to me because as he turns water into wine, it's also an opportunity to see what is God doing in our own lives. How can God continue to be the life of the party? How can he continue to restore those things that have been broken? And so I want to talk about it. Sometimes he's the life of the party because you're in pain. And only God, when he shows up, can turn our pain into joy. Sometimes only God can turn those dark things to light. Only the bitter things, the things we've been carrying, the things that we've been holding on to, all the stuff that we've been holding on that don't belong to us, when Jesus shows up, it changes everything. And I'm saying to somebody, maybe the life of your party has been you. You've been counting on yourself to make things happen. You've been counting on yourself to bring joy and happiness. And God says, I'm the life of the party. Without me, there is no life and there is no party. And so he says, in this text, Jesus says, I am the life of the party. There are six things that he shows as signs and miracles beyond the water and the wine. It's in John chapter 4. We learn that Jesus, he had a royal official who had a son who was sick. And he healed that son in John chapter 4. In chapter 5, we also learn that there was a man who was a paralytic who was by the sheep gate. And he was by the sheep gate for a long time, until Jesus stopped by and healed his paralysis. Then there was a man in chapter 6. It says that there was actually 5,000 people in John chapter 6 that had gathered for a gala. Maybe it was a bash. Maybe it was an occasion that everybody was just coming to hear Jesus. And in John chapter 6, it says that 5,000 people was fed with 2 fish and 5 loaves because Jesus is the life of the party. Later on in John chapter 6, he was walking on water. He would have passed by, and he made the wind cease and the waves to calm down. And they asked the question, who is this man that the winds and the waves obey him? In chapter 9, we learn that there was a man who was blind, and Jesus spit on the ground and made clay and put it on his eyes. Jesus did all these miracles, all of them, so that we might believe. And just in case we thought that he didn't have the power to overcome death, he told Lazarus, come forth. If you're here today, the most important thing that you can hear, any miracle, anything that you see God moving, is done so that we might believe. The whole book of John writes and says, all these miracles, all these signs, all these wonders, they're being presented so that we might know that he is the Messiah, that he is, Jesus is the Son of God. So in our text, we find that there was a marriage, a celebration, there was a wedding. I don't know what occasion you might be maybe considering right now, what your situation might be, but whatever your situation, if Jesus is present, if he's been invited into your situation, it can shift. And I'm saying, first of all, if Jesus is present, then he can change the situation because when we pray, he's going to hear our prayers. And if he's present, once we pray, he's going to provide. He's going to provide because he's got the power to make things happen. He's going to provide the power because of his purposes to come and to change everything. When there was a wedding, the thing you had to know about Jewish tradition is that anytime that there was a wedding, it was a big deal in community. It was a big deal for them because the whole community would show up. Everybody would come from the community. And when they showed up, it was a party. And the thing about it is, whoever was putting on the party, they had to make sure the planning was right, because if it didn't go right, it was just shameful and embarrassing if they ran out of stuff. You ever went to a potluck or a place and as soon as you got there, it was already out of food? You ever went to a place where you was hosting it and then before you know it, more people showed up than you expected and you started rationing out stuff? These weddings would last an entire week. After the wedding occurred, they would stay all week and party with this family. So if you're going to host something, it was a big deal. And so you got to know who was at this wedding. At this wedding was Jesus, his mother, his disciples, and a whole bunch of people. The whole community was there. And so in this space, it says that, well, Jesus' mother was there and they were celebrating. I wondered to myself, what made Jesus show up at this wedding? What made him show up at this celebration? And then I started to read. Jesus loved dinner parties. He loved festivals. He loved to go to parties. He loved to show up. Wherever there were people, Jesus was glad to show up. Because he came for people. He came to share the message of the good news. Everywhere he went, he was okay being in a crowd. He was okay sharing with people. So I was wondering, who was the friend? Was it a friend of Jesus? I think it might have been a friend of his mom. And how I know, Mr. Bonnie talked about it last week, the order in which they show some things in the text. It said that Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples. And so what I'm saying to all of us, that sometimes when you have a friend, sometimes when you care for somebody, that you show up faithfully. And when you show up and there's a need, there's a lack, there's something that just ain't right, sometimes you need somebody to step in. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside. I don't know the situation. I don't know why there was some situation that was going to be lack here, but we know there was. How do we know? Well, we know that his mother began to pray. I don't know. The Bible doesn't talk about the interaction that Jesus had with his mom, but we know that there was lack. He says that the wine was running out, that there was going to be no more wine. I don't know. Maybe you're here and you're running out of gas. You're running out of money. Maybe you're here and you're running out of a job. You're running out of family and friends. You've been doing everything you can, but there's lack in your life and you're running out of stuff. And maybe you're here and you're like, well, where do I go? And I'm here to tell somebody, maybe when you feel empty and drained and you're running out, you need somebody else to pray. Maybe sometimes you don't even know what to do. You need somebody else to come alongside, to stand in the gap. We know that Mary, Jesus' mom, she stood in the gap. She went to Jesus because of her love and her empathy for these individuals being married. And she went to the one who can change everything. She went to the life of the party. And when she got to the life of the party, she said, they're running out. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be humiliated in this community. It's a big deal. And maybe you're here, and maybe your situation today is that you've run out of all the grace that somebody had to give you. You've run out all the mercy you had. It seems like you done ran out because you said you wouldn't and you did. You said you'd stop and you didn't. Maybe you've run out of every opportunity to make it right. And somebody today needs to know that Jesus won't give up. He won't stop. And in this text, even when there's embarrassment, even when you're ashamed, all you need is a little empathy, somebody to stand in the gap. We don't know the interaction between Jesus and his mother. I know the Chosen tried to help us. Maybe it happened in that way where they locked eyes. And even though she made a request, even though she asked him to do something about it, we don't know, but we know he did something. The confidence that she had to know that her son, she had never seen a miracle. This is his first miracle. To see him, to look in his eyes and say, do something. The confidence. Then it says, the woman, dear woman, she said, that's not my problem. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. I don't know who it's for today. Do whatever he tells you to do. Even if your situation does not change, even if you don't know how your occasion and the situation is going to shift, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And as a servant and as a follower of Christ, sometimes it's like, well, but my situation hasn't changed. How do I know it's going to work? Do whatever he tells you to do. Whenever there's lack, whenever there's need, whenever there's a situation where you know that is beyond your control, do whatever he tells you to do. And in this space, it gave hope. It gave hope to a dying situation. On my way in, driving today, I don't always have bills, but I had a couple bills this time. And I stopped at this corner, and I was like, okay, God, I hear you. Put my window down. And the gentleman couldn't even, he didn't get up. And I reached out and I handed it to him and I looked at his eyes and I said, keep hope alive. And he looked at me and he said, they said I have had 4 weeks, stage 4 cancer. And he said, but I'm well beyond those 4 weeks. He said, I've been keeping hope alive. I only say that to say sometimes we don't know how people get in the situations they're in. We don't know how they get to the point of lack. We don't know if it was people just being greedy at the wedding or they just didn't plan well. It doesn't matter, because sometimes we don't know. All we need to know is that we're called to give them hope. And at Hope Elam, my hope is that anybody that comes through those doors, is that we show them the love and hospitality that anybody would want to receive, no matter their background, no matter their situation, that when they get here, that Jesus would truly be the life of the party, that he is about him and what he does. And even if there's lack, if you remember the story, and it was going into the temple and the man was out the temple begging, they say, silver and gold, I don't have, but I have the very best, and that's what I'm gonna give you in the name of Jesus. Get up. And so I'm saying sometimes a prayer goes a long way. Sometimes, even in occasions where we don't understand how to fill the need, do whatever it is that he tells you to do. So as they kept going, we know that miracles happen, but this miracle came in a special way. Sometimes God would take the ordinary and do something extraordinary. He'll take whatever you have and turn that into what you need. All you need is what you got, and all you got is what you need. Sometimes, listen, in this situation, there were ceremonially some stone pots. And the stone pots were there for cleansing. They had to wash their hands. They believed traditionally, you got to wash your hands before you eat. You got to do all this public cleansing before you go into the party. So those stone pots was there. Now, we don't know how much water was in those pots already, but when Jesus gave order, he said, fill them to the brim. Fill them up all the way. Because when Jesus begins to pour out, when he begins to bless you, he's going to bless you to the max. He's going to give you his very best. And so in that situation, it says that he standing with six stone water jars, and that was used for Jewish washing. And each one of them, they say it was about 20 or 30 gallons. Can you imagine when Jesus says all six of them, fill them up to the brim, fill them up with water? What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, if you're here today, whatever it is, get you some containers. Get you a container of peace and set it out. Get you a container of mercy. Get you a container of self-control. Get you a container of love. Get you a container and set them out. Because when he begins to pour out his blessing, he won't stop until all the containers are full. Whatever it is that you need, Jesus is ready and he's able. He says to them, look, I'm going to take you the ritual and I'm going to make it into a relationship. I'm going to take the tradition and I'm going to use it for transformation. So sometimes it's the ordinary. It's what you already have. Sometimes he wants to use that, the ordinary, so that he can provide the overflow, but it takes obedience. So what did they do? They filled the jars with water. And when the jars was filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the person who is the master, who's over the party. Sometimes what is really lacking is our obedience. God says, everything you need, you have it. I'm going to take the very thing that's in your home. I'm going to take the very thing that's on your job. Take the very thing that's in you. The very thing that's your testimony. The same thing that you've been struggling with. I'm going to take that, the ordinary, I'm going to make it extraordinary. All you got to do is be obedient and do whatever he tells you to do. Sometimes we complicate it because we want something that's extraordinary in the process. You remember, really quickly, you remember Naaman? Naaman was this military warrior, and he went to the prophet. He wanted to be healed by the prophet, but the prophet didn't come outside. The prophet sent his servant to tell him, go dip seven times in the Jordan. And Naaman, because he was this somebody, he's like, he's not even going to come out to see me. So he was going home with his leprosy. And his servant said, Naaman, if he would have told you to do something extravagant, if he would have come and wave his hands over you, would that have been sufficient? Sometimes we get sidetracked by the method, and we miss the message. We get sidetracked by the method, and we miss the miracle. And so if you're here today, sometimes you won't know. When they filled the jars and they went to the bridegroom had no idea. The bridegroom was going to get all the credit. Jesus didn't go publicly and say, hey, I'm about to fill all the waters and I'm going to turn it into wine. He just did what he was going to do. Right now, we got blessings that we are benefiting from. We don't know where it came from. We don't know how it got there. But the bridegroom's going to get all the credit. And I'm saying for somebody, the overflow is here and it's ready. A miracle will be provided. So if I can walk through this, because it's almost time to go. Sometimes there's an occasion like a marriage. As long as Jesus is present, he'll change everything. And sometimes you need somebody to pray like a mother, to pray and stand in the gap. And when she prays, sometimes then what we need to understand, provisions will be made. The provision will be made because of the power of God. It will be manifested because of your prayers, because of what he does. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it came from, it says that he called the bridegroom over. Sometimes the blessings are there. We just don't see it yet. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe you're here today and the blessing, it's already there. God has already turned and transformed it. You just can't see it yet. The servants knew. Sometimes he'll tell the lowly. Sometimes he'll tell the servants. Sometimes he'll tell those not in high status, he'll tell the lowly. They knew that it was wine, but it wasn't until you can taste and see for yourself. Oh, taste and see how good he is. The blessings of the Lord will make you rich. Sometimes you're rich and you don't even know it. You're walking around rich and you're feeling like you're poor and you have lack. But sometimes we got to understand that the blessings of the Lord, they're already there. In this text, he manifested his power. It says that a host always serves the best wine first. It's like, well, what's going on? He said, how is it we have already had this other wine, but now we're bringing out this top choice, this quality of wine? Maybe you're here today and you've been thinking, well, it's too late for me. I've done too much. Well, it's too late. I shoulda, woulda, coulda. And what God is saying, I don't care when you come. He said, because it's never too late. In fact, sometimes he'll save the best for last. So if you're here today and you think, well, I missed my mark. Well, I missed my time. Now is the time. A kairos moment, an appointed time, is right now. That God is ready to manifest his power. His power is in what he does because he's the life of the party. So for all of us, trust God's timing. Maybe you're here today and you're like, well, I shoulda, woulda, coulda all summer. I had all summer. Right here? Right here? Now's the time. God saying, let me manifest my power. Won't you come and let me take it from here? Because ain't no party like a Jesus party, because a Jesus party don't. It's right here, right now. And so when he does that, all of it was done for one reason. And it wasn't so that Jesus can look good publicly. And it wasn't just so that his mother can see that she had influence over her son. And it wasn't so that the bridegroom can have his humiliation thwarted and he can now be exalted. The reason that he did it is so his disciples would believe. Everything, all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, all that we've experienced is being done so that we might believe that he is who he says he is. What about the miracles in your life? What about the things that you've done and you've seen and you know that was him? All of it was done so that we might believe. What will it take? In this text, the miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time that Jesus revealed his glory. That all of it, and the disciples who saw it, they knew behind the scenes, they knew he turned the water to wine. Maybe you're here, and what you've been looking for is new wine. And for new wine, can I just tell you, sometimes you can't get it until it's a crushing. You can't get new wine until you get pressed and squeezed. New wine comes about when they dry out in the sun, the grapes dry out, and all of a sudden there's a threshing, there's a treading upon. Because I was told that after their squeezing and a pressing of the grapes, they got to submerge them underwater. So then there is a fermenting that happens. They got to stay underground in a cool place for a while. Kind of reminds me of Jesus in the tomb, and after this aged for a while, after it aged, then it starts to take on the flavor. I don't know if you're waiting for new wine. I'm just saying God can use what you got right now. He'll turn your water into wine. He'll turn your whining into wine. He'll turn your marriage into wine. He'll turn whatever he needs. He'll transform it. And so maybe you're here. Here's the whole book of John. The disciples saw Jesus do many miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you You have life by the power of his name. It's the very end of John. So what I'm saying is, no matter what your day look right now, when Jesus is the life of the party, there are brighter days that are ahead. When Jesus is the life of the party, he'll turn your darkness into light. He'll straighten out the things that have been crooked. He'll take generational curses and he'll wipe it away. Somebody need to know there's brighter days that are coming your way. Amen? Amen. Stand up on your feet, amen, and give God praise.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.